I want to ask you something. Right now, as you raise your hands, have your hands raised, have your hands raised. Tomorrow night, I want you to come with an expectation where we're going to be prophesying, trust me, over many. I want you, many has done the commitment of the 40-day giving. Don't let this conference go by. I want to ask you tomorrow night, when we come, we're going to be laying hands on every person, everyone, ring of fire or whatever. We'll do prophesying over most that are hungry. Everyone that is hungry will be prophesying. I promise you now, you'll leave this place with a word. And God will reveal things. But I want to ask you a favor. You know, when David was carrying the ark, he first put it on a cart, and I'll explain a little bit about it tomorrow. He put it on a cart, and then, as I explained last night, the cart fell over, and it was a comfortable way to, he wanted to do a quick way to get the glory there. Again, sometimes we do services quick, 1 hour, 2 hours, and we expect and we wonder, why is there not revival? God is waiting for our flesh to die. And David got so scared at the place of testing, he left the ark at Obed-Edom's house. And the Bible says God began to bless Obed-Edom. Was it Obed-Edom? Yeah, Obed-Edom's house. If you would look, everything, even the ground, if you would have vegetables, it would be this big compared to this big. Everything was blessed in his house, simply because he had the glory and the ark of the covenant in the house. Now, David saw that, and he was getting jealous, and he said, I'm going to take the ark to Jerusalem. And he did it the right way the second time. He had the ark carried on the shoulders of holy priests, opposite to what he did the first time, because he learned his lesson, and people got killed in the process. And as they were carrying the ark, the Bible says they would walk 4 meters, give or take. 1, 2, 3, 4. It was, I'll give you tomorrow night, I think it was a few days' journey without walking the 4 meters, like if it was constantly walking. They would stop and do a sacrifice to the Lord, an offering. They would pick up the ark, walk 1, 2, 3, 4 meters, put down and do a, which means that we serve a jealous God. Well, let me say it like this. We serve a spoiled God. He has been outgiven long ago by David. Are you guys with me? But David knew that what Obed-Edom experienced in his house, I want to have in my house. That is why we put in the 40 days of giving. And tomorrow night, with an expectation, I want you to come with a pledge, with a seat, or you can even pledge in your heart now. You know, you will see the people that we have taken, that we prophesy over, and you'll see how they, you know, how this or that, or we were in Centurion, I was prophesying. I got to one girl, I got to one daughter, there was a situation, I got to the mother, I said, I see, Your husband is in witchcraft or something like that. I go back to the daughter. I said, I see you having a dream. I see angels, 3 angels or something like that coming into your dream. She opens a book, a diary, shows the dream. There it is, 3 angels in the dream. And I begin to read. I said, give me the dream. Let me read to your mother to explain where the deliverance of the father is going to take place. So I took it and I began to read it. And I said, and the dream is about the father, that how a spirit comes in, how God comes in, and how the father is raised from the sick bed from witchcraft. The prophetic works on hunger and placing a demand. It is God's protocol, not my protocol. When he said, when you go to a prophet, take a gift. It was his protocol. Now, obviously, we take up tithes and offerings for the church. But I want to encourage you to go beyond that with a seed tomorrow night when you come. You can even make a pledge in your heart now already and say, God, tomorrow night I'm coming with this amount for this conference as a thank you seat. We are now in the awakening conference. It's like the Feast of Tabernacles, but an awakening seat to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. You have kept us in a lockdown. You are not you standing here, you're alive, which means God can do anything with your life still. okay? And let me tell you, if I tell you, I have sowed myself out of poverty, it is not a phrase we have made up. I have sowed myself out of poverty. I was a man that was in a lot of poverty, a lot of debt. Even in my ministry, I had no revelation of giving and tithing. No revelation whatsoever. I would be preaching all over the country, but I have not one cent. Until I sat under a ministry that took tithe and offering serious, and I caught the revelation of it. How, what it is to give into an apostle or a prophet, how to reap from them, how to, the principle of tithing works and seeding and offering and partnership. And then I began, I remember in 2013, 2012, it was 2012, 2013 I began. And it took 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. A lot of people want to give up after 2 months. It took 3 years. And you know, I didn't think much till I caught the revelation and God began to cancel our debt. Speak to a man to say, cancel every cent of their debt. To another person, do this. You know, we have never lacked one thing ever since we caught the revelation of giving. There's a time where my wife and I sometimes would give everything away that we have. We had one car, we're still paying it off. I gave it to a pastor friend and I said, there, God says you can have it. I put a red ribbon on everything for the person. And I walked away, still had to pay off the car. And I had children. We planted the church for the first year without a car. Nobody knew. And I caught a lift with the staff. You know, we believe in giving. When we say to people, give, it is not because we want money. We don't need to have Krugersdorp. We can carry on in Centurion just the way we are. But I've seen people being set free when that spirit of poverty is broken. And they understand giving. It breaks the back of poverty. It is where now the reaper overtakes the sower. It is where you will begin to reap where you have not sown, where somebody else has sown for you. In the prophetic, under the glory, and tomorrow night we're going to go deep into the glory of God, into the prophetic. There's no limitation. What has been meant as a promotion for you for a year or 2 years from now can happen tomorrow. It's what I call a 24-hour turnaround miracle and anointing. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt under bondage. They went to bed as slaves. They woke up free with the riches of Egypt upon their backs. And they walked out of Egypt. A 24-hour turnaround miracle. It takes one phone call. If Jesus can say, let a fish come up with a coin in its mouth, it's because they didn't have internet banking that time. Or a cell phone to give a notification. I heard a testimony of somebody that found money. Yeah, was that tonight? We had, who was it? Who had the cash in the car but our other conference? Was it you? I had a vision. I'm on my way to the conference and God shows me a vision. I see cash in people's car.
Yes.
And it happens to her. God has locked everything, cash.
That's right.
Spread out in the car, spread out. Oh. We got the photo.
And I think it was in an office park as well.
So, signs. But God is looking for a heart that is hungry.
Come on.
That is saying, I'm going to pledge, but I'm going to come tomorrow with my seed and my tithe. Offering a thanksgiving seed. Do something special. I always say this, if it hurts you, it moves God.
Come on.
Trust me, to give a 300,000 rand car away hurts you. Because I wanted to be blessed with cars. Oh, no, let me say it like this. I wanted to bless people with cars.
Yes.
And I thought, God, you know, I'm going to be blessing people with cars. I said to my team, I want to sow a car one day. But I thought in my mind, once I have 10 cars, then I'm going to be giving them away. God doesn't work like that. He waited for a year to one, and I gave it. Which means I automatically step into a dimension where now it is easy to sow a car. Yes. Where there, it was impossible almost. Yes. But because I stretch my spirit, yes. Now we've given 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cars away, 6 cars away. I can right now take someone and say, let's go buy a car. But I couldn't do it 2 years ago. And I wouldn't have been able to do it today if I never stretched myself into that dimension. You see, giving stretches your spirit. And if you're resisting now, trust me, it is just poverty that is fighting your prosperity or your deliverer. And we're not taking up an offering, so relax. We're just asking you to come tomorrow night. with a great expectation. Are you guys with me? Come with a seed, prepare a seed. A great expectation, prepare a seed. That God can move. I want him to, like I said, we'll take up the offering before we start, when we started the service, and let God be moved by your giving tomorrow night. I was ministering in a lot of churches, the churches where I would lay hands and nobody falls over, no prophecy happens and no open heavens, was the churches that would not give. And then you get to another church that would give everything they have, and God moves and miracles everywhere. It is just a principle that he has put in, where he said, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. He knows how important money is. So it's not that he's just after money. He's just after the thing that we need the most, so that we can get the thing that we need the most. Are you guys with me? I lived on the streets. I sowed myself out of poverty. I said it in the other church. I can say it now. Let me give you just a little bit of a testimony. I was in an Hatfield church as a visitor when I just got saved. I just went in there to buy a book. I was young. I was 18 or 19 years old. And my friend Gebert is there now. And like I said, I didn't know him at that time. I just went in there at a bookstore. I was looking for a book. I was hungry for the presence of God. I was 18 years old. I walked to the bookstore. I got the book. I remember I went to the counter and I wanted to buy it. And there was this pastor standing behind the counter. And he came around. He took me by the arm and he said, "We're not looking for trouble here." And he walked me out of the church. And I was so confused. I didn't know what was happening. I'm just hungry. I just wanted to get this book. And then, time goes by. I get up in the ministry. And I find myself, let's say a few years later, standing on the stage of that church with thousands of people. Revival. And I remember the power of God falling. And I look and I saw the person who carried me out. And they don't know it was me. Now you must understand, I see this person on their knees in front of me. If I can tell him my story, how God has changed and turned my tables around in every situation. I've had my enemies repent to me, falling on their knees before me. Repent. I've had my enemies give finances into my life. My enemies. One person was an arch enemy. I go, start ministry, he phones me, says, "God said I must give you this amount." I said, "But you're my enemy." Another person, I threw them out of the church for something, I think I had to. And long ago, and it was a situation. And my wife and I, we see a proof of payment of a lot of money. I said, "This person," I said, "this cannot be." I get another one, same amount. I said, no, this is fake or something. So I zoom into the proof of payment. The next morning, I'm phoning the person. Oh, no, I said, "Let's just wait 2 days. We wait 2 days, the money comes in." I phone the person. I said, "Why did you do this?" The person said, "I had a dream. And in a dream, a man came to me and said, give everything you have right now to Leon." And they had nothing. The person was almost on the streets. They had nothing. They gave it. The moment they gave it, a business opportunity opened up for them. It is not my principles. This is the principles of the Word of God. There are some that taps into a prophetic gift. You know, a lot of times we blame the prophet, but it is the receiver that depends on their hunger and how they do it and by what expectation they come. So when I say come tomorrow with a, you have a pledge in your heart right now already, but come tomorrow and I challenge you to name your seed. Myself and Pastor Chris did it. We write down every cent we sowed, like a list like this, so that we can hold God accountable. And I can go and say, okay, but this is my seed, this is my request. And every single thing is ticked off. Are you guys with me? Where I thought I would only be 20 years from now, I'm now already there. There's something that sowing does for you. It is a photograph of your faith. It is evidence of your faith. So just by that, I want to encourage you that when you come tomorrow, expect prophecy. See how God moves on your behalf when you give everything out of your heart. I always say it like this, it's not the first mite. The Bible says the poor widow came with two mites. It's not the first mite that impresses the Lord. It is the second mite that impressed him. because the second one caused her to have nothing left and made her dependency upon God so much more sure. And Jesus even looked at this widow. The Bible says she was a poor widow and she had. Now Jesus even said to everybody, this woman has nothing. She just gave me the last bit. And then he said to his disciples, let's take the money, we go. And they leave and they don't care about that woman. Imagine the newspapers. Jesus taking money from the poor. But he knew a principle. The greatest thing we can do is tell people or keep people in their poverty by handouts and gifts. And as a church, we do that. We give. But I heard the testimony. I think we had quite a few testimonies. But the families we've helped, how they've come up, how God has delivered them, how God has saved them. We don't want to see anybody going hungry here. But in the same way, I want to empower you. A seed can take you out of poverty. Let that seed be hurting to you. Like, what is hurting? When you give it, you feel like you made a mistake. Unless you're at that level, you haven't seen breakthrough yet. Because when you feel that pain, when you part from it, I've done many of those seeds. The last one I gave was about 300, and this is not to impress or anything, okay? I think 200 or 300,000 or something. Everything. And I laid it down at a prophet's feet. Everything. And I walked out and I thought, yeah, it was a lot. It was everything in my savings. And I wonder if I would see a certain amount in my account. I just was wondering, as I was walking out of the person's room where I was sowing it, and it was just a thought. It was the month of May. I thought, maybe a year I can see that amount. I hope so, because I just gave everything away now, so it's going to even take me longer to see it. And by June that year, 2 months later, July, 2 months later, I asked Pastor Chris, just check my money. And it was more than what I wanted 2 months prior to that. We are not joking when it comes to these things. We are not playing around. Many ministries, many people's lives have been delayed because they never understood the principle of sowing. And I will never stand so confidently speaking here because I just want your money. Oh, no, we do this thing. We do it. We are one of the few churches that tithe properly. When I say tithe properly, we tithe up. And a lot of people, churches tithe to the poor, or tithe to themselves. I don't know what they do. I heard some churches, they tithe. They say, no. The musicians, they pay as they tithe. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus. Okay. Do you know you receive where your tithe is going to? So if I take the money from the church to tithe, I'm putting it into an anointing that I want to come upon the people. The tithe is holy and it belongs to the Lord. Are you guys with me? So there's an honest seed. Jesus said to Judas, he said, the poor will always be with you, but me you won't always have with you. The prophetic might not be around in South Africa for very long because of how South Africa is shedding the blood of it now. But what I'm saying is, I just want to challenge you to come tomorrow with a pledge. You can go pray about it with your family. Come with a seed that can move God's heart. If it hurts you, I bet you it moves God. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. I'll see you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Sorry for the late evening. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.